Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, good luck!
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you because that's what we like to do. And Magical Frank and I got a great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about some new stuff that's coming out on the crackdown on scientific fraud. So we're going to be talking about that, how that impacts everybody's health. Also, we're going to talk about how we can deal with blood clots better than ever before. And if we get more time, we'll talk about migraine headaches. We'll see how the hour rolls. We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that good stuff, God comes first. So, you know, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face, praying for this nation. And today's devotional, I'm over here in Psalms 119. In this section here, David's praying, and he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou thought thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And I have more understanding than my teachers, for their testimonies are thy meditations. And I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. And I have refrained my feet from evil, that it might keep thy word. I have not departed from your judgments, and I have that they have taught me, and how sweet are the words of your words for my meditation. Yes, sweeter than honey. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So if we just spend more time in the Word of God, we're going to have a better understanding, be wiser people. And we need some wisdom nowadays, don't we? And my time, because it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, get this over here in China. Guess what they're doing? They're having artificial intelligence operate their ambulances, and they're rolling out robot doctors. So they're into the digital age there in hospitals, because hospitals apparently are strained to the max. So in eastern China, an ambulance may speed through traffic. So what they're doing is using technology to aid the ambulance as it travels down the road, and it takes over all the traffic lights. So all the traffic that's against them gets red lights, and they get green lights. They say that helps ambulances obviously get to their destinations faster and safer. They also said their tech giant over there is using a lot of cloud and data services to get rid of some of the things in healthcare systems there that snarl up and deal with the I guess a doctor shortage. So they're rolling out their robots, the doctor kiosks. And hopefully that will help solve some of those problems, those backlogs. All right, moving along on the quack report. Chickenpox vaccine is back in the news. They say kids today are getting chickenpox vaccines, but according to experts, it's increasing the rate of shingles. They said the chickenpox vaccine was added to childhood vaccinations, so babies ages 12 to 15 started getting those shots in 1995, and then later on they made sure older kids got booster shots, so that rolled out in 2002. But this new research that was published in the Annals of Clinical Pathology claims that the CDC and the Los Angeles Department of Health Services actually colluded to bury research showing there's a link that this universal chickenpox vaccine is actually giving a rise to shingle cases. So author of the study, Dr. Gary Goldman, said that former research analysis has shown that they've been monitoring the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine. He said they started back in 2000 monitoring it, and he says there's been a lot of information from school nurses. And they get all these reports that, you know, shingles is on the rise among students. You would think students get chickenpox, but no, they've been vaccinated. So now they're getting the shingles. So shingles among children is usually quite unheard of, but not nowadays. Shingles in kids. All right, last but not least in the quack report, fewer Americans spending their final days and hours in hospitals. They're preferring to die at home. Yep, that seems to be what the trend is. It's kind of a study that was looking at Medicare patients. This was from 2015 to 2016, and there's a uptick, about 21.6% now, of people preferring to die at home. So the National Institutes of Medicine said that they defined what a good death is. It's one that's free from avoidable distress and suffering, and families and caregivers, and should be in a general accordance with the family's wishes. So the average age of the time of death in the United States apparently is 82 years of age, and all these findings were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So more people want to just die in peace at home. I mean, hospitals are noisy. If you've been to one, goodness, lately, how can anybody get any sleep? And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
thank you, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this crackdown on the scientific research fraud. You've heard about this. We've covered this a couple of times, but we got some new information on this because there seems to be this slight uptick in more exposing of the fraudulent scientific studies out there. And a lot of editors in your scientific journals have stated that a majority of the papers that do get published are fraud or fake. And some of these people have resigned over their positions because of it, because they didn't want to put, you know, they're editors and they didn't want to put that in the journal. So this is really not just a United States problem. The fraud seems to be systemic on a global level. So the more this is exposed, the greater the chance for positive changes within the scientific community. So this tide may be changing, and hopefully the scientific fraud will be more no longer accepted, or medical treatments be based on biased studies. So for how long is this industry has really put, you know, profits ahead of patient well-being? That's, you know, it's enough is enough. So knowing full well they've done this, and by the time, you know, their lawsuits rolling in, the industry would have gleaned millions from the fraudulent treatments. So any damages ordered by the courts would be minuscule. So we're going to check out what's happening with scientific research and how patients can actually protect themselves against the faulty science. So we're going to look at this international scientific review that was done in 2016. This was an investigative research, and the scientists were with the American Academy of Neurology, and they conducted this probe into the scientific fraud that typically gets published in your doctor journals. And what they uncovered is scientific misconduct is how they classify it. I call it what it is. It's fraud. Okay. So they uncovered scientific misconduct in 33 trials that were published on bone health alone and the treatments for it. So the team used these computer programs with statistical analytical data to help them flush out the papers that were a complete sham. So here's the scary part. These scientific trials that they found were based off of a body of research done by just one researcher in Japan. So here is where one scientist's bias corrupts the other studies that used his data. So the investigative scientists were analyzing the integrity of the data of these 33 studies, supposedly random controlled trials, mind you. And here's what one of the investigators said. This is by Dr. Mark Bolland. He is a Bachelor of Medicine and Surgery with the University of Auckland, New Zealand. And he says this: our use of the statistical methods to examine the integrity of the data in the 33 randomized controlled trials raises serious concerns about the reported results in those trials, end of quote. So the results of this investigation were published in the Journal of Neurology, and they retracted three of the studies that journal had published previously involving these studies. So the Japan scientist was Yashiro Sato. He's a medical doctor. He actually admitted to the fraud, this scientific misconduct, and that he fabricated the results and the final report. So currently, there's no criminal statute to prosecute this behavior, which is really fraud and not merely scientific misconduct. Let's get it. Let's call what it is. So now the repercussions of Dr. Sato's actions influenced therapies for patients with hip fractures, especially stroke patients and patients with Parkinson's disease. So the fake studies boasted that the patients experienced reduction in hip fracture regardless of their treatments, and they published results reporting that the patients received some treatments were 78% less likely to suffer hip fractures in the future. So these lies were published for medical doctors to read and to include in their treatment programs. So what about the co-authors involved in these studies? Because, you know, you hear about the co-authors on the research. Well, a majority of the studies that get published, they do have co-authors, and researchers will approach more prominent scientists that have published before and get them to approve the study, and then they're added to a list as a co-author. In a majority of these cases, these co-authors are really not directly involved in the study at all, but they're listed kind of like as an honorary courtesy as an author. And it, you know, it kind of gives the study a little more credibility. So now if the perpetrator of the study is not going to be punished for fraud, you can't expect the co-authors to be punished either. Now, it can be embarrassing for them, but they kind of just shrug it off because this happens so often in the scientific industry that no one cares anymore. Now, of the 33 studies that were found to be fraudulent, Dr. Sato was listed as the lead author in 26 of them. All right, so, you know, we've mentioned before that because of all this corruption in scientific research, you know, there's no more gold standard. I mean, that's gone. So Dr. Bolland's team tried to replicate the results of the studies, and they found results varied to the point that none could be expected statistically to show any positive results. And they reported the test groups were not random. They had very similar characteristics, not occurring by chance. And they revealed that the research showed patients would not be protected from hip fracture, and the treatments offered no benefit. So overall, the results showed the misconduct included inconsistencies with the trials, errors in reporting data, misleading text, duplicated data and text, no ethical oversight, ambitious time frame of 33 randomized controlled trials within 15 years, all with positive outcomes, which is highly unlikely, and outcomes were not consistent with outcomes of similar studies done by other researchers. So here's what Dr. Robert Gross, he's a MD in Rochester, New York, and he's also the editor of the Neurology Journal. He says, the analysis demonstrates scientific misconduct on a large scale, end of quote. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when you read reports such as this, it kind of makes you wonder about the suppression of accurate studies that would hurt the medical industry, such as, you know, with the vaccine treatments. And we just had a perfect example with the chickenpox vaccine in the Quack Report section. All right, so, and what about the drugs like Vioxx that were, you know, removed from the market because they were killing patients? Well, in 2011, two physicians at the University of Michigan Health System published what changes need to be made with the scientific research community to secure ethical work. Nowhere was it recommended that statute law be established to prosecute these scientists as criminals. Also, the fraud will continue if you have no ethical standards board that could also revoke research privileges. So if the scientists are not held accountable for their actions, the fraud's going to continue. So simply writing articles about how outrageous this fraud is, it's really not going to change a thing. And what could any reasonable person think would happen if there's no oversight or consequences to the fraudulent actions? Well, a perfect example of stupidity is the European Science Foundation, who put into place codes of conduct for good practices, but nothing in place to address misconduct. They left that up to the individual facilities to handle their own problem. So codes and policies and even law that's not upheld leads to criminal behavior, doesn't it? Right? Okay. Let's read you this quote from Dr. John Marks, director of the Science and Strategy European Science Foundation. In 2008, he said this, if scientists get away with questionable practices, and if no one says anything about it, it might invite bigger issues of misconduct. Trust of science is lost with high-profile cases of misconduct and is why we are very concerned. End of quote. Well, that was in 08, so 10 years has gone by and nothing's changed. So basically, what is the patient left with? Think real hard. Well, you're left with a buyer beware situation, aren't you? Yeah, so it's really unfortunate that scientific medicine has become infiltrated with such greed to influence fraudulent outcomes. We often hear of buyer beware when purchasing a car because it could be a lemon How devastating to realize the same rule applies to modern medicine. Here is a quote by John Lyonis, Department of Hygiene and Epidemiology, University of Lyonis School of Medicine in Greece. He says, it's impossible to know with 100% certainty what the truth is in any research. In this regard, the gold standard is unattainable. Richard Smith, a biophysicist, the former editor of the British Medical Journal, says, most scientific studies are wrong, and they are wrong because scientists are interested in funding and careers rather than truth. And this is from the European Science Foundation. They say this, fraud in science includes inventing data. A scientist who fabricates, manipulates, or falsifies data to produce an unjustified result and then presents the work to other researchers to base their concepts on is a major problem. It is difficult to assess the extent of fraudulent research, but it is estimated to be as much as 50% or more. End of quote. So 50%? I've heard it's as high as 75%. You know, even higher than that, I would think, you know, because people aren't speaking within the halls of science about this stuff. They kind of, you know, don't want to talk about it. And based on this, the level of risk associated with medical treatments is most likely incorrect. And you want to take into account that most medical tests have a 20% error margin. So therefore, you can quickly see how your published 10% risk of treatment failure can, in reality, be 70% or more. Well, let's take some baby steps here. Because according to experts in the scientific community, the U.S. National Science Foundation and the Office of the Inspector General, which, by the way, has statutory power to investigate and subpoena evidence of fraud, well, they described how they may address scientific misconduct. Here is their plan. Right, buckle up. Here it is. Scientists would be sent to an ethics class and possibly be prohibited from receiving federal funding for research for 5 years. Well, whoop-de-doo, you know. Is that the best they can do? You know, when patients could be dying based on scientific fraud. Think about it. Well, and then there's this cross-the-border problem. Because since European countries tend to address scientific fraud in a self-governance or on your honor format, and other countries may have a stricter standard, so there's this conflict when there's collaborated research among scientists from different countries. Now, in some instances, contracts are signed to address rules and investigations and sanctions. And because of this, the Global Science Forum was formed to help manage and any suspected misconduct. Yeah, they're going to manage it. So this concept has kind of met with some resistance from the scientific community because when you have a powerful international board, it could migrate towards agreed global practices, international codes of conduct, national and institutional structures to deal with misconduct, and also control of the research, which is the big one. Here's a quote from, Professor Juan Jose de Demoria. He's a Spanish with the Spanish National Research Council. He says, society requires science and researchers to solve the problems that concern all of us. Public opinion has an opinion regarding the honesty of scientists, and we cannot allow it to be lost, end of quote. Did I hear someone say too late? You know, I think, you know, this, you're under damage control now, Juan. Well, let's look at the scared scientists, because they are scared. It is obvious that scientists across the world are scared that restrictions and new standards and possibly laws could be coming to force ethical oversight or risk sanctions. So the pushback, the argument within the scientific community is, why punish everyone for a few bad apples and scare away investors and good scientists? Well, the real problem is that restrictive oversight will deter private funding for research. So we already have scientists doing experiments offshore. It always comes down to the money, and sadly, it is the reason why there is such mistrust within the scientific medicine today. But, you know, you got a brave new course out there, because the whole issue of corruption in medicine research has really given some momentum to alternative therapy. So people are becoming more proactive with prevention-type lifestyles to avoid the need for drugs and surgery. And people have, you know, become pretty savvy with regards to researching treatments and discovering some, you know, things within medical science. And they also noticed that medical science is lowering normal limits in a lot of these blood analyses to really convince more patients you need more heart drugs and diabetic drugs, you know, make younger patients patients. So I caution people to research all of their options carefully, because people are also amazed when they can turn a condition around within just a few months when they use a lifestyle change and some medicinal herbs. So it's quite empowering, and it does liberate you from further risk of the toxics, that, you know, components of drugs. So as one physician put the risk of medical treatments, he said this, Dr. Frank Kramer, he's a plastic surgeon. He says, death is the ultimate complication. Yeah, all medical treatments, drugs and surgery have risks. There's none that have zero risk. So when you think about natural medicines, we think of God, because he offers us the ultimate power to overcome ailments with organic foods and spices and herbs. So we can count on God's creation offering some healing benefits. So they all contain that healing power, and you just have to get the right quality. Always buy certified organic, because your health is going to be worth it. Yep. So for top quality professional strength herb formulas, you want to contact Apothecary Herbs. You might want to look into their calcium herb liquid. It has this fast-acting component, and it's a way to strengthen bones and muscles and connective tissues and even your immune system, because the body uses calcium for all those areas. And they have a full line of organ cleanses to help remove toxins that can create a cellular stress and also metabolic distress, and that can leave you with disease. So you want to give them a call, Apothecary Herbs, and here's the number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. They have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And when you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs, professional strength. You won't find this in stores. And by the way, they're having a big 4th of July sale. So now would be the time if you want to stock up or try to your cleanses. If you never cleansed before, they'll show you the proper way to do it. And you will save 15% and get free ground ship. You can ask about the special if you call in, or you can just copy and paste the code on the homepage for your discount at checkout. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's where you want to find the top quality, naturally aged, certified organic, tilt standard, game changer, top shelf product. That's it. I know we've got to take a little break. When we come back, more empowering news. So don't go anywhere.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Talk. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about how we can deal with blood clots a little more safely than taking some of the medications that are out on the market. I look at modern medicine this way. I think it has good, bad parts to it, and we have to be able to discern between the good and the bad. And I think trauma care is a necessity. But managing symptoms of disease and not curing disease is the part I don't like. And if people could just understand that lifestyle needs to be changed and we need to get really proactive with some medicinal properties in plants and herbs, we can change our whole situation around within usually a few short months. So people need to stop just taking the pop-the-pill convenience thing and just need to really take responsibility for their health. All right, so I don't know if you've seen the commercial for the blood clot drug that is supposedly to replace Coumadin or Werifin. The new one is Pradaxa. I don't know if you've seen the ads for that. It should be a big money maker. people, more patients, don't like to take coumadin when they discover it's really rat poison. So they've come up with this new replacement that they hope will make them a lot of cha-ching. So the FDA's black box warning on the drug tends to scare people away, the coumadin warning on the drug, or warfarin. And it's because patients, you know, just don't want to take poison anymore. So is Pradaxa any better, though? Are patients going to have, you know, the same risk or greater risk taking this new, newfangled blood clot, blood thinner drug? Well, coumadin went on the market in 1954, and it was first marketed in 1948 as a rodenticide, which is rat poison. So this was a synthesized, the coumadin is synthesized, and the synthesized version is called warfarin. And it tends to be odorless and tasteless, and it's easily used to poison rats. Rats would eat it and then bleed internally until they died. So, you know, you kind of wonder, well, how did this go from someone's brain to, okay, I just killed rats, and so now I can thin people's blood and they don't have clots? How did they make that jump? That's a good question. But they just said to themselves, you know, the drug company says we could give a lower dose. The drug company argued that, you know, the rat poison in small doses really would deter the blood clots, but it does not promote hemorrhaging. So the FDA's black box warning on coumadin says this: patients may be more susceptible to the risk of hemorrhaging if they are 65 years or older, or if they have a history of gastrointestinal bleeding, hypertension, or heart disease. Well, typically people with clot issues tend to have cardio problems on top of it. So you want to keep in mind, coumadin was supposed to be replaced by a drug called X-Milligatran. It was for blood clots. It was supposed to be, you know, the heavy hitter. But it wound up causing a lot of bleeding, worse than any other they'd seen. And so, they couldn't put it on the market. So high doses of it, caused a lot of hemorrhaging. So in 2001, the Journal of the American Medical Association started, offering, you know, alternatives to this drug. Coumadin and warfarin, were kind of tricky for doctors because patients need to have frequent blood tests and monitoring, for any kind of brain hemorrhage or stroke even. This is supposed to prevent that stuff, but it's still a risk, internal bleeding. So, they wanted a drug that could skip all that and still be profitable for the drug companies. So, and if you get a year's worth of coumadin or warfarin, it's about $200. A year's worth of Pradaxa is $3,000. And let's see if it's any safer. We're going to answer that question than the coumadin warfarin product. Here's a quote from Dr. Robert Califf. He's a Duke University cardiologist. He said, "The side effects of warfarin or coumadin can be debilitating and is one of the leading causes of emergency room fatalities in the United States," end of quote. And that's the thing. You could start hemorrhaging and bleeding, or if you were on the medicine and were in an accident and you were bleeding, they did have, or they do have drugs that can counteract the warfarin and or the coumadin, and you quit hemorrhaging. So there is an antidote to that medicine. But is there an antidote to Pradaxa? Well, so here we are, 62 years from the launch of coumadin in 1954. And after a slew of other anti-clotting drugs didn't perform well, they now have Pradaxa. So according to the hype on the Pradaxa drug, it is considered an upgrade to coumadin because it limits strokes. And Pradaxa went on the market in 2010, but they're highly pushing it now. And it has reached $1 billion in sales in just 2 years of its debut. So unfortunately, according to DrugWatch.com, this is kind of the German pharmaceutical manufacturer of Pradaxa, is called Boehringer Ingelheim, so they make the drug. They actually paid $640 in settlement offers for the drug because there was like 4,000 lawsuits already for Pradaxa. So, but you still see the TV commercials promoting it as a safe alternative. Well, let's look at some of the side effects to it. The common side effects patients are informed about with regards to the Berdaxa drug is you may have a little indigestion, nausea, or heartburn. Now, the serious side effects are heart attack, liver failure, and uncontrolled hemorrhaging and death. So patients with kidney problems aren't supposed to take it without the drug causing a lot of renal damage. And there is really no antidote to Pradaxa if patients start to bleed out because the drug removes the clotting ability in your blood. So in 2011, there was this reported 542 deaths due to this drug. There are significantly more deaths that go unreported. And in 2014, the adverse events led to the 4,000 lawsuits I mentioned. So the media really hasn't said too much about the drug. It's still being sold, and the drug company that makes it made $1.2 billion in 2014 alone on sales. So no surprise, the drug companies admit no fault when they do pay for damages. So far, $640 million in damages on this drug. So that seems to be, you know, the MO, the way the drug companies roll is they know the drug has some serious problems, but by the time people figure it out, they will have made billions of dollars, and any court costs, lawyer fees, and damages they'll pay out will be a small fraction of that. So they're willing to do that. So the bean counters, the corporations behind the drug companies, you know, kind of outrageous, you know. They design a drug, they say it's going to save you from the very thing you're probably going to die from while you're on it. So what really is causing clots? Let's get an understanding of that. The main cause really is lifestyle. Okay, so if you have an occupation that involves constrained seating, this can actually promote clots and thrombosis. So inactivity increases your chances of getting clots. For instance, sedentary jobs, long distance travel, especially by air, if you drive a truck for a living, that kind of thing, it can put you at a greater risk of having clots. So it's real important that you get up or you stop and you move around every hour so that you don't get those clots. And there are people that are high risk of clots, people who suffer from trauma, have surgeries, heart attacks, vascular disorders, people who have cancer, who are overweight, have hereditary issues, sepsis problems, birth control treatments will cause blood clots, and even substance abuse can cause clots. Now, for some reason, those that are undergoing surgery, let's say for knee or hip replacement, they seem to be at a greater risk in the category of developing post-op pulmonary blood clots, pulmonary embolisms. So you know, these are clots that form, let's say, in the leg and the surgery site and then travel to the lung. Now, other people at high risk are going to be patients with various types of chronic diseases, like pregnant women as well. So if you've been diagnosed with thrombosis, the National Cancer Institute has a list of deep vein thrombosis risks, and one of them is a drug called tamoxifen, which is for hormone replacement, because that'll put you at risk as well. So you always, always, always have to do your homework on your medicines and treatments. So if you're going for surgery, a lot of doctors, you know, if you're going to have surgery, they'll ask for a list of vitamin supplements, even herbs you're taking, because you may be taking something that will thin the blood and you'll bleed too much during surgery. So they want to know about that. So they'll probably say if you're taking, let's say, garlic or some other supplement that thins blood, they'll say to get off of that a week or so before surgery. And then there's the gender risk. Is it men or women that are at a greater risk of clots? Statistical evidence says women are at more at risk due to their pregnancy and being on birth control medicines that promote clots. And young women in their 20s and 30s have really actually died from a blood clot produced by the side effects of the birth control pills that they're on. So medical science reports the benefits of birth control outweigh the slight danger of dying from a clot. Well, tell it to the young women that are dead. That's what I say. So evidence also shows that there are fewer blood clots in women if they're taking the second generation birth control pills, they only produce 15 clots for every 1,000 women that use the drug, compared to the third generation birth control pills that are producing 25 clots for every 100,000 women. And women who smoke or are overweight or diabetic and taking this stuff or have a family history of clots, well, you're even higher risk of dying while on that medicine. And surface clots are not the same as deep vein thrombosis clots. A lot of people think they're the same thing. You have a little trauma to your wrist or your hand and you get a little clot there. It looks like a little bump. It's not the same as a deep vein thrombosis clot. Deeper clots usually are the ones that create the serious risk factors. And again, lifestyle influences everything about your health. And so we're going to get into some of the things that, if you got an overindulgence in like things like fatty foods and alcohol, rich man foods like the elite used to eat back in the 1700s, you're going to be at risk of having clots. So you want to make some dietary changes, reduce or eliminate a lot of these foods, change that lifestyle, and over long term, the condition corrects itself. But we can suggest some nice little supplements and herbs that are going to really help you smooth that out and move it along. Okay, so in recent years, a lot of medical science has kind of readjusted their thinking into what is triggering strokes and heart attacks. And they used to think it's a lot of cholesterol and plaque that disturbed your heart rhythm. Now, a Harvard cardiologist, Dr. Victor Gurwitch, actually says these factors don't necessarily put you at a risk of blood clots. He actually says blood clots are influenced by the fibrinogen level in your blood. Now, this is a protein that's in your blood, and it actually dissolves unwanted clots. So it regulates the clotting factor. So let's say you cut your finger. You want your blood to clot then, clean the wound, but clot so you're not bleeding. So it regulates the proper clotting, and it gets rid of the unwanted clotting. So fibrinogen protein in your blood is directly influenced by diet. Okay, so if your blood platelets like to clump together and stick together, it's usually the diet that's making it do that. You don't have enough fibrinogen protein to dissolve them in your blood. And many health experts agree that, diet is the most significant influence on blood clots. So more research is being conducted on this and, what makes a blood clot, what gives evidence to pointing to some of the foods that can contribute to them and also help the liver process the cholesterol appropriately, because your whole body needs cholesterol from head to foot. Your brain uses cholesterol. So just doing anti-cholesterol medications isn't going to get rid of the heart attack risk. So you can't. You can also actually be looking at some of the changes that you can make in your lifestyle that will start immediately, and immediately it has an effect. It starts working on the protein in your blood, the fibrinogen. So it's not for naught. It will have an effect right away. So if you tend to rely on blood thinners, a lot of people decide, they're going to take these anticoagulant drugs or they're going to take aspirin therapy to thin the blood to reduce their risk of clots. Well, this strategy can put you in a precarious position of bleeding too profusely if you are injured or you need surgery. So doctors will advise their patients to avoid certain foods which are natural blood thinners, like I mentioned, garlic, ginger root, black mushrooms, a lot of fish with omega-3 fatty acids, salmon and sardines, because these foods are effective at naturally thinning the blood. These foods also work better than blood thinner drugs if you incorporate them every day in your diet or regularly in your diet. So the key is you just don't want to lower cholesterol with dietary changes to prevent stroke or heart attack. The approach takes longer to lower your risk. So if you want to eat foods that directly influence the blood and its ability to clot, you definitely have to do a lifestyle change and not just a dietary change. Diets are fads. Lifestyle is permanent. So foods such as your garlic and onions are scientifically proven to benefit the cardiovascular system. And when you add ginger root or hot peppers like cayenne, a lot of olive oil and fish, green tea, Of course, your fresh fruits and vegetables into the diet. If you do this on a regular basis and you cut out a lot of the high fat foods, you limit your red meats and get off the dairy products and the cheese. No processed foods, no fast foods, no frozen entrees. And you get rid of the excessive alcohol. Guess what? Your cholesterol and your clot risk get lowered immediately, right? So if you got high blood pressure, if you go on a vegan diet for 30 days, you get it under control within a few weeks. Then you gradually work in your Mediterranean diet, and you can control a lot that way. Now, sometimes we get into the blood purifiers. People ask me about these. You definitely want to, if you're going to do any cleansing, the blood purifiers usually tend to be the last ones that you want to use. Now, Egyptian writings, actually, that were published in ancient times give a lot of credit to onion as a blood tonic. So the old-time American country doctor actually listed onion as a blood purifier as well. The French actually would feed garlic and onions to their horses to dissolve leg clots. So horses are prone to clots in their legs. Horses are strong animals, but they're fragile too. So Russians actually would age onion in vodka to improve circulation. So if they're going to drink, they're going to improve their circulation. So there. Medical research is also backing up a lot of what the ancients have saying. There's a chemist by the name of Dr. Eric Block. He's with the State University of New York. He found garlic has a lot of compounds that perform antithrombotic action equal or superior to an aspirin. He said garlic has an extra benefit of preventing platelets from clumping together and sticking to the walls of arteries and veins. A lot of medical research has said that about garlic and onions. It can perform this action. So there's a lot of study on these compounds. The major one that they've seen to, they think it is adenosine, and it comes from these types of foods. So researchers in Germany at a Saarland University have discovered that it takes about 3 cloves of garlic a day to improve your circulation. Well, you just throw it in a smoothie or vegetable drink. There you go. You don't have to take all three at the same time. You know, you can work it in 3 times a day. So that's what they're reporting. And they said the benefits of just 2 ounces of onions have a similar impact that the garlic has to block harmful effects of the fat that can make your blood clump together. So if you're eating garlic with acid type foods like tomatoes, it will magnify the medicinal power. So it's the synergistic effect there. And just imagine what you can accomplish by adding onion, garlic, and olive oil into your daily salad. Think about it. People just don't realize they have the power already. God gave it to you. It's herbs, spices, and your organic foods. And I mean, the Western diet's very toxic, and it promotes a lot of internal medicine disorders. So we got to get off of that type of lifestyle. Now, our ancient ancestors used a lot of herbs to improve cardiovascular health and reduce the risk of clots. And one herb in particular has the nutritional flavonoids to prevent a lot of those unnatural conversions of the fibrinogen. So when you get too much clotting going on, your fibrinogen protein actually becomes fibrin. So if you want to protect that protein from doing that and protect yourself from clots, you know, and stay off of the drugs that can really cause a problem. We want to look at herbs like hawthorn berry. There's a lot of ancient writings, and there's also scientific research on hawthorn berries. It offers some elasticity to the arteries and veins that prevents narrowing and stiffening of the arteries and veins, and it helps reduce the likelihood clots would stick and plaque would stick and block blood flow. So the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition actually tested hawthorn berry. They tested it with the blood thinner drugs, and they found it improves the force of the heartbeat to improve the blood pressure. And many cultures around the world actually use hawthorn berry all the time in their lifestyle. They say it prevents hypertension, angina, arrhythmias, blood clots, heart failure, and other chronic cardiovascular diseases. So if you're looking at hawthorn berry as in a supplement form, real important to get a whole food product that doesn't have a lot of fillers. It hasn't been extracted and forced and separated from its alkaloids. You know, it still has its whole plant nutrition with it. So you want to look for whole food supplements that way. So if you're looking at it in a liquid, because, you know, people know that the tinctures are more concentrated and they're a liquid, they don't have to swallow a pill. They can dilute it in water. Yeah, it's more concentrated than the capsules, tablets, or tea. But you want to make sure it's a whole food cold pressed herbal tincture. It hasn't been forced extracted. Forced extracted will reduce the action, the medicinal power significantly. And you'll just have to spend more money taking a lot more of it. So you want to look for that whole food cold press aged process. And it's really an ancient way of making these tinctures that they made long, long ago, but it provides the power that you need in the plant. So most people experience benefits of a lot of these herbs to improve cardio within just a few weeks. A lot of people feel it within a few days. If they've been really bad off and they don't have that nutrition in their body for the cardio system, when they take it, it's almost like a light went on inside their body. So definitely look at that. Doses could vary depending on the severity of the condition. A lot of times, you know, people have different tolerance levels to herbs, and some people are so weak they need more than the average bear, as they say. Now, if you get regular exercise and you switch over to the Mediterranean type of diet, really easy to do, you'll reduce your risk of many, many, many internal medicine diseases. So if you go to the powerherbs.com website, if you get a chance to visit there, thepowerherbs.com, they do have a cardiovascular section. They do have the hawthorn berries there. They do have a heart formula, a circulation formula. They have a heart attack pack. They have quite a few things there that are all natural. And when seconds count, you may want to have a backup, you know, especially if you're in remote areas. This time of year, people, you know, camp, they hike, and you may not be close to a phone or a cell tower, so your phone works, and you may want an emergency heart attack pack with you. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com, and don't forget they're having their 4th of July sale. The sale is 15% off, and you get free ground ship in the United States, and the sale goes through the 6th of July. So there is a coupon code on the homepage. You just cut and paste that in your cart at checkout to get the discount, or if you're ordering over the phone, just say you want the 4th of July sale, and you'll get the discount. If you do order by mail, many of you do because you have the herbal catalog from the folks at Apothecary Herbs, and you just fill out your order form, just make sure you get it postmarked by the 6th, and you will get the discount. Remember, it's 15% off and free United States ship, so it's only in the USA. You get free ship, and the sale is through the 6th. So this is a good time, you know, to get your, you know, all-natural pet collars or your cardio or your prostate or your whatever cleanses. There's a whole slew of things in this catalog. You should at least get one of those. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. I can see by the clock I am out of time, but I'll be back next week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And until next time, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Be well.